Previously on Tokyo Signals, the 90s, skateboards, slushies, and SeaWorld? That's right, with the rise of early neo environmentalism and an awareness that, perhaps, it's pretty messed up to keep a massive sea creature confined to a tiny glass prison, a new film leaps onto the silver screen. Free Willy! Jesse, a troubled youth, is caught tagging a local theme park. His punishment? Why, cleaning the park, of course. Here our rough and tumble teen meets Willy, a whale who's as surly as he is. The two become fast friends, and once Jesse finds out about the park owner's evil plan to murder Willy for insurance money, he hatches a scheme to free the titular whale. The day and the whale are saved, concluding on the iconic scene of Willy jumping over the rocky breakwaters. Hurrah! What a fun little story with no loose ends. What's that? The movie made how much money? Well, let's start over, shall we? Previously on Free Willy, Jesse has been adopted and moves in with his new parents to Seattle and begins working at the Misty Island Oceanic Reserve. For some reason, Willy is also here, but that, frankly, is the least wild thing that happens in this cartoon show. Randolph, Jesse's Native American mentor, informs us that Jesse is now just Eliza Thornberry and is able to speak with Willy and other sea animals at the reserve that he works at, as he's now a truth talker. Also, not only is Willy back, but he has a lifelong rival, the Machine, a human cyborg, whomst somehow lost an arm and a half of his face to the killer whale. Wow! How will our heroes manage this mechanical menace? Let's find out on Free Willy, the animated series.
We interrupt this program to bring you...
a giant of limitless power. What would happen, they wondered? Why not try nuclear fission to build the first atomic bomb? Man has released from within the atom's heart not one, but many giants.
Welcome to Tokyo Signals, the bite-sized kaiju podcast for all your conniving calamari needs. I'm Rob, and joining me, by fan request, from his deep submergence vehicle, is a very special guest. Would you mind introducing yourself?
It's me. It's Dan, commonly known as Revised Dan on Twitter, the artist, and person. I'm just a person.
Artist, cat lover, Halo aficionado.
Yeah, let's go with that. I spend a lot of time on Halopedia.
Welcome back, man.
Thanks for having me back. I'm very excited to tackle this show. As a big fan of all things whales, I'm very excited to dive in figuratively and metaphorically and literally and all those thingies.
With this new season of Tokyo Signals, where we watch these like random one-off cartoon shows that happen to have a giant monster in them, I try and like give a little bit of backstory on my personal history with the show, or with like the meta narrative around it. And unfortunately, I don't have much history with Free Willy. You, the audience, might be asking, Rob, why are you talking about Free Willy, a cartoon based off of an early 90s like movie that I may have watched? Okay. So to set it up, A year ago, I was hanging out with some people on the Tokyo Lives Discord, and Joe Jira, shout out, by the way, sent me a link and said, I think you should watch this on a stream with everyone. And it was a clip from this episode of a talking Free Willy and a talking dolphin hanging out with a talking blonde-haired boy, saying like, oh, I sure hope nothing bad happens when we wander out into the ocean. And immediately they are beset upon by a giant killer squid.
And so it is technically a giant monster in a cartoon show. So for fan month, I thought it'd be very, very funny to ask them, hey, what guest host would you like to have recur on an episode? And then I slyly did not tell them what I would be covering, just that it was something that they all loved on the Discord and would like me to cover properly. So that is about as far as my history goes with the cartoon show. When it comes to Free Willy as a property, I had kind of like ish parents, so I was never really a big fan of like SeaWorld stuff or like, I mean, I loved zoos when I was a little kid, but then like, you know, I didn't really, I don't know, SeaWorld stuff never felt like comfortable to me. I was much more of a Fern Gully boy. And there were not enough cute alt fairy girls in Free Willy to really hook me, you know? I will say that the guy who plays Randolph, Jesse's mentor, is played by a guy named August Schellenberg, who kind of plays like that stereotypical 90s noble savage character. You know, it's bad. But that is my best friend's uncle through marriage. So we that's like as close as my tie to the actual show, like movie goes. I only ever watched the first one when it came out or maybe on VHS. I don't remember seeing the second one. And I didn't even know there was a third one, nor did I know that there was a fourth one that was a directed like DVD that came out in 2010. So I don't have like a super strong, connection with this show or this franchise, but I will say having now watched the first episode and this episode 6 of season 1, I'm smitten. Dan, we were talking a little bit earlier. It sounds like you have not super familiar with Free Willy.
I have never seen the films. I've never seen the show. All I know is that a whale jumps over a boy and the boy touches him. And I don't know how the word Willy is used in America, but in the UK, it means that does mean cock. So, so as a kid, as a teenager, one of the jokes was, you know, Free Willy. That was a common joke. Free Willy was a common joke. So that's my interactions with Free Willy is not much. I did see Blackfish though, so I don't. Yeah, so I'm not a fan of whales in captivity, and this did set off some red flags when I saw that Free Willy, the cartoon one, had a bent dorsal fin. So I was like,
Okay. The show is leans very, very heavily on the environmentalism message, to the point of parody. It's very much like, it's very like Kong, King of the Apes, where it's like the main actor turns and looks at the camera and says like, hey, don't use your powerboat right next to the shoreline. It'll disturb the natural habitats of these sea creatures. You know, it's like, it's very like kids cartoon, like, you know, here's the moral of the episode, like looking right at the camera. Like Blackfish, oh boy, I got some stories about watching that.
It did make me laugh when he turned to the camera and did say, hey, don't put your powerboat, you know, running by, you may disturb animals, and then immediately Willy splashing around and throwing stuff everywhere, and I'm just like, okay, well that's fine then.
Yeah, Willy suplexing a boat like onto the shoreline, shattering its like, you know, gas reserve, spilling fuel everywhere.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's charming.
Yeah, it's fine.
Also, I didn't write this down in like my favorite moments or anything, but I do need to stress that when like we first see Willy, Jesse's being like bullied by some teens. And he's like standing in the water, and all of a sudden he starts to levitate out of the water. And one of the bullies goes like, "How's that kid doing that?" And then like Jesse, our main character, goes like, "Ask a silly question," like he's about to say, "Ask a silly question, get a silly answer," and like, yeah, a whale lifting me out of the water so I can stand up is a silly answer for the question of how is that guy doing that? So I thought that was truly clever writing, if only by accident.
Yeah, that bit was a bit like, okay, this is... it was a strange episode, especially coming with zero context. Yeah, I did audibly laugh and gag at several moments because I was like, what?
Speaking of what, let's look at the plot, shall we? Our story opens at the beach. Jesse and his dolphin companion, Einstein, are hanging out until a bunch of no-good teens start booting around, disturbing the habitats of the local marine life. A total clown move. Don't worry, though. Willie shows up to save the day, viciously tossing the teens onto the beach. Wow, there's nothing in the whole ocean to be afraid of as long as Willie's around. Meanwhile, somewhere in the whole ocean, there's something we should be afraid of. The machine, with the help of some random scientist, is splicing animal genes together to make a super whale-killing giant squid named Goliath. We come back to our heroes at the Institute. Let's see how it's going.
Aw, come on, little bud. You were just getting used to going out into the ocean.
I know, but every time I go out there, something scary happens.
There's nothing to be afraid of when Willie's around.
Yeah.
Well, okay. But let's not go out too far.
We won't, little guy.
Good, because if anything at least a little bit scary happens, I'm swimming right back to the healing pond and I'm never coming out again. Huh? That'll do it!
Egads! Goliath is chasing Willie, and he means business. With only a thin wooden bridge to protect them, our heroes have to come up with a plan to stop the sinister cephalopod. What's worse, Jesse can't truth talk to this gnarly calamari, because it doesn't have ears. Thinking quickly, our heroes come up with a plan.
Squid depend entirely on their keen eyesight. Sperm whales eat giant squid, right?
Right, but we're fresh out of sperm whales at the moment.
That banner we had up for the Help the Whales charity drive last year.
A life-size drawing of a sperm whale. It might work.
We'll have to use Willie and a rubber life raft.
Wow, that's insanely convoluted, but I love it. You know who doesn't love it, though? The squid. Goliath is spooked by the drawing of the sperm whale. With the danger gone, our heroes set off to find the origin of this killer squid. And they find it. At some Envirodomes. Abandoned though. Budget cuts, you see. Yes, some kind of C-Lab 2020 where people were using them to experiment with different atmospheres? You know, to colonize other planets. Or as Randolph puts it,
the perfect place to do secret genetic research. Create monsters. Like that giant squid.
There he is!
As the team explores the sea lab, Goliath breaks out and begins to battle Willie. In the process, they manage to destroy the base and all the evidence of the machine. Whoops! Just as the tides turn in Goliath's favor, Willie breaks free and challenges the machine to a game of undersea chicken, only to dodge out of the way, causing Goliath to smash into the machine's submarine. With the machine sunk, the defeated Goliath retreats to his deep oceanic trenches.
Sonar shows the squid heading for the deep Pacific trenches, where there are other giant squid. His natural sense of survival has taken over.
We won't be seeing him anymore, I hope.
But, isn't he a genetic super monster? Won't that just wreak havoc on that whole ecosystem? Aren't we going to talk about that or discuss that at all? No? Okay, the end! So that's the plot breakdown. I think I did a pretty good job.
Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it.
For what is ostensibly like, I mean, it's just an insane kids show, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got it running muted on the left here so I can sort of just look at it. And I mean, I paid £1.33 or whatever for it. I'm gonna make sure I get that money worth.
Heads up, this is available on YouTube. You can buy the season for $14 or buy an individual episode for like $1.99 or £1.33
or something.
33? Oh, okay.
I don't know. I just pressed the buy button with, you know, the I was just like, I'm having this. This will be in my collection of one YouTube feed. This.
I own two episodes of things on YouTube. I've bought two things. One is the episode of Ghostbusters that we covered on this, and now I have an episode of Free Willy. And I feel like one day, like, I'll look back years from now at the collection of like random one-off episodes I've bought on YouTube, and like, it'll tell a story, a beautiful like pastiche of my existence.
Yeah.
Speaking of beautiful pastiches, nope, that's not a word. Let's talk about monster design. okay. There's only technically one monster. And again, I need to stress, this is so on the cusp, but this is the closest thing I've had to like an on the fringe episode of Tokyo Signals. But, Goliath is a squid. In my show notes, I wrote, "What more do you want from me? Why did the Discord ask for this?" yes. It is a giant orange squid with a big old yellow beak, big blue eyes. It had like electricity buzzing out of them when he first showed up. And I thought they were going to do something with that, but they didn't. And on his crown, the top of his head, he's got these like yellow fins that kind of stick out. Aside from that, he's just a classic squid looking squid. Got a bunch of tentacles. He's got two big long ones that he can use to swat stuff. Not really like super interesting, especially considering he's supposed to be a genetic freak. He's the Scott Steiner of squids. But they didn't really do much with that. And that's one thing about like early, like, you know, 90s cartoon shows. I feel like this, and there's an episode of the G98 Godzilla cartoon show where they're like, we made a super genetic monster. It's like and then it's just like, it just looks like a snake, or it just looks like a slightly bigger version of like a wolf or whatever.
I mean, I appreciated that they went to the, like, I think mainly you can call, I mean, it's silly to sit here and say this show wants to be realistic when we've got sludge men and cyborg and talking dolphins, etc.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I did appreciate that they're trying to be, like, they tried to explain it as in what I wrote down, what they were like. They said it's adapted for shallow water swimming, which I thought,
yeah,
that was the one thing I was like, that's cool. I mean, that's cool, I guess. But that, you know, doesn't that mean when it goes back to the deep water, it's going to struggle because it's adapted for shallow water? But whatever. Yeah, it looks like a squid.
It looks like a squid.
With angry brows.
They say, what was it? Like, it's got thicker skin and like it's got a narrower like crown or something. Like they describe it. Yeah, you're right. As being like designed for more shallow waters. And be able to, like, it can exist in like these areas where there isn't like a lot of sea pressure, which makes it good to fight, you know, Free Willy, because Willy's hanging out at that little institute all the time. So, yeah, you know, let's talk about the much more interesting antagonists of the show. Lacutus of Borg and Goop Monsters. The Machine. He's not a kaiju, but he is a monster.
I thought his name was Mr. Steel, because okay. The scientist calls him Mr. Steel.
The scientist calls him Mr. Steel.
That really confused me.
It's very, okay, so character-wise, they always refer to him as the Machine, but the scientist, and I've only seen the first episode and this episode. In the first episode, they refer to him, he refers to himself as the Machine, and the heroes refer to him as Machine without any, like, reason to do so. And then in this, like, a random doctor is calling him Mr. Steel. And meanwhile, the Machine is like, I'll take off my uniform if you don't do what I'm making you do. You know, he's so hammy. The voice actor they got for him is trying so hard to do like a Tim Curry voice. You know, I have some clips I'll throw in at the end of the episode. He's amazing.
I thought he was great. I loved Mr. Steel slash the Machine. A lot of my notes are about how much I love him. So all I know about Free Willy is Free Willy is a show about freeing a Willy slash. but then it just cuts to, I mean, obviously the intro has him, and then there's a bit where Free Willy drops a missile on an underwater base, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
I was down for that. And then, but then in the show, he's just there, just an underwater cyborg man.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
going, I swear revenge on this, on that infernal blubber boy. I'm like, okay, so Free Willy, it really caught me off guard. I really didn't know what to think of it because, yeah, he's great though. Love him.
Trying to parse out what his deal is, right? Okay, so it's like clearly, he is Locutus of Borg. He's Captain Ahab. He's got metal on him because like that'll make a more fun toy to sell. But also making it to where it's like Free Willy somehow like permanently like injured this man, ripped off an arm, crushed his rib cage, and removed half of his face. Like, Free Willy is a monster in this.
Yeah.
Which it's a killer whale. So yeah.
Like, that's what I thought. I was like, okay, so are we, you know, and Free Willy's got this like, got Sonic the Hedgehog's voice, and he's sort of going,
it's just this
like Mr. Machine, what a goober. And it's just like, okay, but you almost murdered that guy a lot. So like, I understood they were trying to go for Ahab. I mean, I have no interactions with Moby Dick either, other than knowing about it. So, I mean, in Moby Dick, does Ahab have cyborg arm and make genetically engineered squids? Or is that, did they add that for this only? Is this,
That's in the sequel, Moby Dick 2. You know.
Moby Dick 2, Dick Harder.
Yeah. I'm trying to wrap my head around, like, did they purposely choose the name Willy because of Moby Dick?
I just realized that. Like, there was seems that to be a lot of phallic named whales?
Because, like, you know, if it's one thing if it's just like a fun goof, you know, or like if you didn't think about it, but like if they were actively like, well, there's another famous whale named Dick, so we'll name this famous whale Johnson? No. Wang? No. Willy. There we go. Yeah, that sounds like a real name.
It feels like a conscious choice, doesn't it? It does. I mean, whatever. It provided my teenage years with some good jokes.
I mean, so, to be fair, it had a major an impact on the zeitgeist for sure. I don't know what these things are called, but the machine also has these toxic sludge monsters. Animated and brought to life. And they are these weird, they like kind of, they make like all these weird, like gross noises. They're just as henchmen. They're just like these evil slime monsters. And I love them. They feel like something out of like an episode of Captain Planet or something. And at one point, like the villain is like, mark your calendars. This is the day I get revenge on that terrible sludge monster. And they hawk a loogie onto the calendar or something.
That was my favorite bit.
Oh, I was like, we have to talk about that. Okay,
it's cool.
We'll talk about more in favorite moments because like that scene is so good.
I mean, it cracked me up that they didn't talk for the whole episode. And there's one bit and he goes, master, they're coming for us. And it was like, oh, they can talk.
What?
And there was several moments in this episode. Obviously, you know, when Willy starts talking and Einstein the dolphin.
Yeah.
Like, that just caught me off guard because, one, I didn't think that the animals were going to talk. And also, I didn't think that anybody could understand them other than the animals. But then it's like, oh, you're a truth talker. But then these guys start talking. I'm like, it was just all over the place, but I loved the bogeys. They took me out of the realism of the show, though, that it was trying to present. That environmental message got a bit muddled.
It's so fully removed from any of its like like what it wanted to do. Yeah, it's wild. So I want to do a special segment. Usually, like, I'll have, like, oh, we'll talk about, like, the tech. Like, there's something iconic about, like, the technology that's used. Or there's something, like, oh, that's really cool or fun. Or maybe we'll talk about characters. But I mostly want to talk about this intro song. I don't know if it impacted you the way that it did me. But I've listened to this 8 or 9 times, and I cannot stop laughing at it. I'm going to splice it in. It's at the intro of this episode, but I'm going to splice it in here just like while I talk. But I just love the like ending line, just as long as you are free, just as long as you are free, Willie, just as long as you are free, Willie, my heart has a home. It's like the most like it's so how do you have a intro song that is like that, and the plot of the show is like there's an evil cyborg with sludge men companions. You know, wow.
It was very like it reminded me it reminded me of like some sort of like homey American like, oh yeah, this is your home and your friends, your family. Let's go out and I don't know if you know what Blue Peter is, or if any of your listeners will understand. Blue Peter is like this homey, like, oh yeah, everything's lovely. Let's go look at lovely things or build lovely things. It reminded me of that like homey feeling. And it's a sort of show that definitely, if I saw it pop up on Cartoon Network, I would have definitely switched over straight away because like that intro would have turned me right off. I'm like, I'd be like, what the what is this?
No. Excuse me.
No explosions. until Willie drops that bomb.
See, yeah.
In the intro, which didn't fit the theme at all.
It's like so, yeah. Do you want to move on to favorite and least favorite moments?
Oh, I have 2 pages of favorite moments. So
I'm
I hope you're ready.
I'm so thrilled. do you want to start?
You can start. Okay, I'll let you start, Rob. It's your show. Your show.
So favorite moments. It was really hard to pick just one because I honestly, I love this show. It's so schlocky and weird and like so on its face, like. You can just see everything like it's a checklist cartoon show. It's like, well, we have to do this. We have to do this. And you can see all the boxes being checked as they're writing the episode as it goes on. But as I was watching, I kept leaning over to my partner and I was like, ah, there we go. That's my favorite moment. Oh, wait, no. That's my favorite moment. I'm going to go with Einstein the dolphin conferring his fear to Willie right before Goliath attacks, just because the whole scene is so manic and it's paced. It's like a minute long and it's like establish that your character is afraid to go into the water, followed immediately by Willie being like, don't worry, there's nothing to be afraid of. And then the dolphin going like, okay, but if anything bad happens, I'll run away. I'll be scared for the rest of my life. To like, not even a second later, you hear roar, and then a giant squid jumps out of the water. And then he's like, yep, that'll do it. And then he runs away. And then Willie's like, wow, that's a horrifying thing. And it's just like, it's just so, it's mania. It is like pure, like, you know, a minute and a half of just like, bop, 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 bop. Like what would be like a whole episode of like a character arc instead is confined to a minute and a half of screen time because it's like, yeah, we gotta check the box. We got to go. We got to move. It's so funny. I adored it.
Yeah. That made me chuckle because it did feel like that was a mini episode in it. I have a couple of favorite moments. Is it okay if I just quickly run through them? So
yeah,
one of my favorite bits is the bullies going, we're going to run over your hat, and then running over the hat. That really made me chuckle. I don't know why. It's just the idea that what I run over his hat. I thought that was.
I mean, I've driven a powerboat, and those things are not like razor accurate, okay? At least not if you're a kid or a dumb teen that's like, you know, been given a boat. Maybe there's like some people out there, but they literally run the boat over the hat so perfectly that the motor catches the hat and buzzes it into debris. And it's like, up. Wow, that's, I mean, so mean and unnecessary. And I was like, are these characters that regularly bully our main character? But I didn't see them in the first episode, and they didn't seem to know who he was. So they're literally just
muffins pretty quick as well.
Brand new characters who show up and immediately get owned.
So that was a favorite part. I mean, obviously the bit when Willy and Einstein started talking, Einstein the dolphin, really caught me off guard. So just by my pure reaction of being like, whoa, they can talk, and then trying to figure out throughout the episode if the people could hear them, and then finding out that Jesse is a truth talker, which is what the term I'm going to use from now on whenever I talk to my cat to stop her from scratching the sofa.
Don't worry, I'm a truth talker.
I'll just go to my partner. I'm a truth talker, Emily. Stand down. I think the favorite moment, if we're going to narrow it down though, it probably is the bit when they go mark that on the calendar, and then it cuts to. And obviously this was a joke that an animator thought would be absolutely hilarious, and it landed. It landed 100%, splashing that spludge on the calendar. That was the most self-aware, funny part of the episode. And also, I don't know, and also the idea that Jesse's like a, because I haven't seen any more of the episode, there's that bit when Jesse's like, there's footage of the machine of Mr. Steel. We need to prove he's real. The idea of him sort of being like an insane Bigfoot hunter really made me chuckle. It's just like, dude, just get the cassette out before we leave.
I honestly, that is my least favorite moment, because it's like that. Okay. This is a Kid Rob thing. This is exclusively like a thing that annoyed me as a kid, but that's a trope. That's straight up. I remember multiple shows doing that where it's like, there's a hidden secret antagonist who's been bothering the heroes for a long time. And like we finally got proof, or we finally caught them, but then like, oh no, but we have to get out of here to get to safety. And then all the evidence is destroyed, or like the secret base blows up, or the villain escapes or whatever. And it's just like, I remember being so frustrated by that stuff as a kid. I'm like, don't even show that. Don't even waste my time. Okay. Don't tease me with an end to your show. I know it's not going to happen. I just remember being so frustrated as a kid. So like watching this episode, because like, I guess like it doesn't happen as regularly now, you know, as a trope, but I feel like it must have happened like every other like week on some cartoon show on like, you know, Cartoon Network or something, you know, SWAT Cats or whatever. But like, you know, not like least favorite in like a bad way, but I was, it like took me back to childhood, and I was just like,
now you've said that, I am getting like flashbacks of that happening in something I've watched. Probably, I don't know.
Just eject the tape. I can't think of
any show.
But. It's fine. It takes 2 seconds. And then Willy
the base is blowing up.
And then Willy is the one who's destroying the base, by the way. So
Willy is a monster. From what I got from this is Willy wants to kill teenagers.
Yes.
Destroys a underwater base. That I found it quite funny that they found the underwater base in this episode. I don't know if they've been building up to it throughout the season, but it felt like we found his base, and then Mr. Steel is the machine is fine with his base getting destroyed, which I don't know. The tone was all over the place, and the environmental message I was getting was don't create genetically engineered animals. That's what I got from it.
Which, like, you know, like, okay, yeah, I think I can handle doing that, you know? At least they set the bar very low for children to be able to get over and be a good environmentalist, you know? But still, like...
Yeah, well, I have to clear my plans for next weekend now because I've been turned around.
Ah, dang it.
By the show. I was gonna splice together a possum and a blackbird, so you know, I'm a bit disappointed.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know. Do you have anything else to say about the show?
I'm gonna show it to Emily when she gets in from her 12-hour shift at hospital tonight. I'm going to say to her, Emily, I know you've had a bad day probably. You are going to watch this with me. It's only 22 minutes. You're going to love it. And then she'll probably tell me to get up, go away and go to bed. But, no. You know, I'm going to show it to her. So my eyes have been opened. I'm going to stop splicing animals together. I'm going to stop splashing with my powerboat, which I own. Thank you. I you're welcome.
Bravery, and, you know, it takes bravery to admit to yourself that you have a problem and to, to accept that, like, you know, you need to change and like, to all powerboat geneticists out there, you know, like it's time to reconsider some things.
It's time to move on. As a guy who lives in the middle of England, so 2 hours away from the sea, I spend a lot of time in my powerboat and splicing stuff.
It was a hassle, but you were committed to it. And I do appreciate the commitment, you know.
I had a great time. I'm Rob, I thank you for introducing me and opening my eyes to this show. I am going down a rabbit hole on the trivia page, on the IMDb trivia page of this show right now.
How is there trivia about it like that to
there's
me?
There's one bit of trivia with, it is unlike his film's counterpart. Jesse's hair color in the series is blonde instead of light brown. So that really interested me. I'm going to write a dissertation on that.
It's non-canonical. It's set in an alternate universe where Jesse is blonde. So it's like, you almost got me. I almost thought this was a sequel.
When we're getting into the Willyverse, where we get every version of Jesse coming out.
Oh, yeah. The portals start opening up and different Free Willies flop into right in front of Thanos. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then there's a cameo by the original Free Willy. And I lean over to whoever I'm watching it with and I go, that's Free Willy.
That's Free Willy.
And they go, oh.
what would we call it? The Phallus verse? The Falloverse? Moby Dick. All the Free Willies.
They sperm all just land whales. On the ground, though, so they're all just flopping and that they're beached and they can't really do anything.
Loud thunking noises. They flop out of the portal and then just lay there. And then everyone's like, we gotta do something about these whales.
You got the machine there. Oh, it's gonna be great. I am actually probably gonna try and watch more of this because when I'm working, so when I'm in the office this week, when my boss leans over my screen and sees that in the corner I have the Free Willy cartoon on, I can explain to him why I'm watching it. It's great. You don't understand. It's helped me break my gene splicing addiction.
It's beautiful. You don't understand. Okay, I guess it's time to close out. Thank you guys very much for joining and listening to this episode of Tokyo Signals. And Dan, thank you so much for joining me in the Falloverse. I feel like we've both learned so much. We've both grown so much because of this show. Yeah. We've come closer together as friends as well. And I think that's something that's really important.
There's an ocean between us, but it's disappearing. Willie's sucking it up for us. I don't know. I'm just happy to be here.
So what's coming up next? I hear you asking. First off, part two of Fan Month. The vote is up now. It'll probably be closed by the time this episode comes out, just because we need to watch it. I will be oot in a boot, so my mic quality will sound a little bit different. I'll be traveling westward to do a little photography trip with my girlfriend. And then the following month will be Mecha Month. I'm extremely excited. We've got a very, very fun lineup of episodes. So I think you guys are going to like it a lot. But you guys already know how to find out more about me. Dan, how can people find out more about you?
My LinkedIn. No, I'm kidding.
There you go.
Probably the best place is Twitter. I mean, I was going to start doing YouTube videos, but I haven't got the time. But Twitter at Revised Dan, you've probably seen me about. And That's probably about it for me, actually. I can't think of anything else. I do have a Patreon that needs to be reshuffled. But I'm very honored to come on and talk about Free Willy. I don't talk about Willies often on my Twitter. So if you're looking for that content, look elsewhere.
I had a blast. Thank you so much for coming on. And thanks.
Cheers, Rob.
Thanks to Joe Gier and the Barbecue Nerd for telling me about this wonderful cartoon show. I can't wait to start proselytizing it. I'll catch you next time on Tokyo Signals. Bye, everyone.
See ya.
Awesome.
Sweat and toil to raise your squid to be what you want him to be, and what happens? He lets you down. They always let you down. Follow him! Goliath has been a bad boy.
Right, but we're fresh out of sperm at the moment.
This concludes this test of the emergency broadcast system.